It's on those passages of scripture, isn't it, which as you read it, you probably, oh, that must be easy to preach on. No, it's really dead easy, indeed. We are invited to affirm the church by having a good moan about the world. And I suppose we could do if we wanted to. I mean, just as an example, we had a Christian prime minister, a church-going woman who is happily married to a faithful husband. And now we have a serial adulterer who is still divorcing his wife and has moved into Downing Street with his girlfriend. And nobody seems to care. And just to keep the balance, we have a leader of the opposition who is not really helping to solve the great Brexit question of the day, nor really dealing with anti-Semitism, because all he wants to do is to get into number 10 and take over. Both of them are creatures of their earthly nature. But you know, Paul's letter is not written to the unbelievers in Colossae. It's written to the church. And he begins by addressing them as holy and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And then he reminds them that Christ will present them holy, without blemish, and free from accusation before God. And reminds them that Christ has made them alive, free from their death in sin. And he just goes on then. However, having said what they are, he then goes on and says, you've got to live that life. The NIV, if you had the NIV in front of you, uses the unfortunate paragraph heading, which is not actually part of scripture, which says, rules for holy living. These are not rules for holy living. They're the fruit of holy living. I went to Screwfix a week or so ago. Very exciting. Come round to the front of our house. You see, we put in a new flower bed. And I went there to get some stain to protect the wood of this new flower bed. And the only one that could meet the need was made by Ron Seal. And just like the store assistant, everybody goes, Ron Seal, it does what it says on the can. Well, Paul is writing to the Colossians saying, do you do what it says in your name? You are Christians. Do you do what it says in the name? To do everything in the name of Jesus is to live in the character of Christ. Ron Seal does what it says on the can. Christians do what it says in the name. The passage we read came to Paul saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We ought to spend some time over that word, really. Richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Building you up in treasure in heaven. Being something exuberant within you. All the depth of riches of Christ dwelling in you. And this is so you'll know what Christ wants us to do. That's his teaching. And so we'll be able to keep each other walking according to his teaching. That's admonishing. Christians, do what it says in the name. Now we are saved. We have a destiny. We're going to be glorified. When you look in the morning, you see this amazingly wonderful person, yourself. It's actually nothing compared to the self you will see in the new creation. You will come to be everything God created you to be. We are saved, we will be glorified. So therefore, live according to your salvation. Live according to your glory. Be holy. Become what you are called to be. Bear the fruit of your new life. Now, I don't want to turn what Paul puts down into a list. It's always a temptation before churches to turn living in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ into a rule book of morality. do this, don't do that, don't do that, do this. Paul isn't really making a list of do this and don't do that. What he's really saying is, the evidence of your salvation is your life in Christ. It's that you no longer live as you used to live before you were saved. You no longer live in the way of your earthly nature, but by the way of Christ. Your old self is dead and gone. Live in your new self. It's not live as you were with some resolutions on top. It's live as you are, as a born-again Christian. So it's a checklist for comparison. Are you growing in holiness? How can you tell? Well, do you still pursue sexual immorality? Do you still practice the sins of anger? Do you still walk in lies? Because if this is how you live, have you really taken on the new life? Jesus says a tree is known by its fruit. In reading about this, I came across this lovely saying that apparently an anonymous Tennessee farmer once said, "What comes up in the bucket is what's usually down in the well." How your life expresses itself is a reflection of what's deep down in your heart. We are united with Christ in a new life, but is the bucket of our daily life still drawing from the well of the old earthly nature? So it's a checklist so that we can see, are we growing? Now, earlier he calls them in Colossians, we're doing a 4-5 part series, and this is number 3. Earlier he called them to live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way. And here he sets out what such a life should look like. A life of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. A character that suffers, has forbearance for one another, but more than that, forgives one another. A character that thrives and flows in love. A character where Christ's peace rules. Now, I'm not standing up here claiming I've got 10 out of 10. In fact, you're all sitting there, those who know me, going, "Oh, he's trying to get some sawdust out of our eyes. Look at the planks in his." The thing is, every one of us is on a pilgrimage of transformation. None of us have arrived. We have an arrival. Our glory is our destiny. But on the way, we have to keep making sure we don't drop back into our earthly nature. And this applies to the church as well as to us as individuals. The church is meant to be a community. That's actually much of what Paul is talking about there in terms of holiness, is about how church people get on with each other in church. Who are the first people you show compassion and kindness to? The ones you're supposed to love. Love one another, Jesus says. Who are the first people you're supposed to suffer in long forbearance and forgive one another? Your fellow Christians. Together, Christ's peace rules in our heart. There's a clear temptation that churches can fall into when it sees all of what Paul is talking about is a list of good virtues. The temptation is to teach the fruit without teaching the source. Do you remember when Jesus, one evening, after he'd been healing all day in Capernaum, driving out many demons, showing his compassion, his kindness, his gentleness, his patience, his humility, serving the needy, the Lord of all creation, bending down to heal the sick and the suffering. And then very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, left the house, went to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, when the morn came, Simon and his companions went looking for him. They wanted him to come back, Jesus, they're all looking for you. There's this whole hospital waiting zone down there. They all want you to come and put their hurts to right. But Jesus said, let's go somewhere else so I can preach there also. That's why I've come. See, Jesus' ultimate compassion is the good news. His preaching would be finalized on the cross. He kept focused on what he had come to do through prayer. That is, by his relationship with his Father. Forgiveness of sins through the cross of Christ is the only cure for the sickness of the world. Jesus always kept the main thing as the main thing. He didn't dodge the cross by doing secondary good. But sometimes churches do that. Churches lack the courage to keep the main thing the main thing. We know that the world resists the good news. We know that people don't like what God has to say. We know that people react against the call to follow Christ. And we also know the church is called to be compassionate, kind, gentle. So we're tempted to teach Christian values, but without teaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Morality is our substitute for the gospel. But the Christian life is not sourced in its product. Its product is sourced in Christ. The kingdom cannot be had without the king. Here we are, it's August, isn't it? Yeah, it's still August. Yes. Christmas is coming, isn't it, folks?
Yes.
And what's Christmas today? In origin, it's a celebration of Jesus Christ. But what is it now? For most people, it's a festival of earthly nature, dominated by greed, idolatry, financial debt, and sadly, a surge in divorces. See, when you have Christmas without Christ, you don't receive the peace of Christ. When you have the kingdom without the king, you don't have the faith and the holiness of Christ. Now Paul is saying to us, look, you guys, you girls, you don't live earthly, natural lives anymore. You're living a Christian life. What it should say on your passport is not British or South African or Kenyan. It should say Christian. That's the country we belong to, the kingdom of Christ. And our Christian life began with our salvation. And that's the death of our old life. The life dominated by sin. Now, if you've always been in the church, it may be really difficult for you to remember and think about, oh, well, have I ever really had any part of sin in my life? Well, have you ever struggled to forgive someone? Have you ever raised up barriers of anger between yourself and others? Do you genuinely love the other people in the church? Do you covet? Our Christian life climaxes in our glorification. We're saved from the old life. We're saved from being dominated by sin. And we come to a destiny in glory in the new creation where there is no evil and no sin. But between now and then, we are called to walk in holiness. And I ask myself this question. Let me put it to you. Why did Paul keep talking about holiness if salvation is all we need? Was he just thinking, I've got a letter, I better put something in? He's writing to people about holiness because it says in Hebrews, which Paul did not write, without holiness you will not see God. And God is who we meet in the new creation. Without holiness, you will not be in the new creation. Your whole salvation is under threat. I know it says in Romans, there is no condemnation, but read the whole chapter. There is no condemnation for those who live in Jesus Christ. If you're not walking with the Holy Spirit, you're not living in Jesus Christ, is what Paul says. We're called to walk in holiness. We're called to be rooted and established in the Lord Jesus Christ and walk the pathway of faith through life. And we can't do that by imposing rules upon ourselves. It's very easy, even in what I'm saying, that it could be coming over, oh, he's talking rules. I'm really trying very hard not to talk rules. How many New Year resolutions have you failed? I stopped resolving because I kept failing. Holiness is not morality. Morality is the fruit of holiness. Holiness is letting Jesus Christ be the core and the centre and the substance of our life. And when we live in Christ as all in all, holiness flows in fruitfulness. We do the right thing that pleases God because we're walking with God and love Him so much. We just want to do the right thing. And as we learn to do the right thing in pleasing God, it comes out more and more in our new nature. But in the meantime, we have to let His word teach us. We have to let His word call us back from when we're in danger of going off track. We have to invite His peace into our lives because His peace passes our understanding and helps us when our lives are in turmoil. Remember what He says in John's Gospel. I am the vine, you are the branches. You can only flourish when you receive the food I give you. As a branch can only flourish when it lives in the food of the vine. Then, fed by Jesus, fed by His teaching, fed through our worship, fed by Scripture, fed by the Holy Spirit, then we will do all in His name. And along the way, there's going to be some temptations. Along the way, we are going to... Why should we expect non-Christians to behave like Christians? Along the way, that's the temptation we're going to run into. Why aren't these non-Christians behaving like Christians? Well, guys, because they don't have Christ. What do you expect? Along the way, they're going to look at us and say, why aren't these Christians behaving like Christians? Is it because we're not really walking with Jesus? When we walk with Jesus, we will flow in fruit. But that walk with Jesus is going to set us at odds with the world. That's what the cross is about. The cross is not about the doctor and the surgery saying, oh, that bad knee you've got, oh dear, well, you're getting old, that's the cross you've got to bear. No, it's not. The cross is the pain, the death I freely go to because I'm standing up for Jesus. And people are going to crucify me for standing up for Jesus. That's the cross. And a church and the people of the church have to pick up the cross and be prepared to be crucified. He who honours me, I will honour, is the promise of the Lord. The cross is the death and the life. And we will praise God with thanks, for we will see that we are being and becoming blameless, without blemish and accusation. We are being glorified. Our salvation is being fulfilled in holiness and being revealed in glory. Amen to the Lord our God. Amen. I invite you to just sort of sit and let the Holy Spirit speak that into your life before we continue to sing spiritual songs and hymns and give thanks and pray for others in the compassion of our holiness.